You're listening to the Online Pastor Coach Podcast, the show that brings you new and fresh ways to connect with your digital church, with your hosts, Joey Santos and Jason Morris.
Let's talk a little bit about Easter, though. So last year was 100% online. This year, churches are like gearing up for people are going to come. Some people are going to stay home. And I can let me start by saying this. Like
I don't think it's gonna happen.
Church at the bar, like last Christmas, I don't do Christmas Eve service at the bar. They are open, but I don't do Christmas. But this year I decided to do Easter service at the bar. Because I was like, do you know what? We come here every Sunday.
Okay.
And I know this is gonna sound bad, people, that you don't hate me for saying it this way, but I don't want to go to big church on Easter just because it's Easter Sunday. Because if we can do church every Sunday in a bar, we can celebrate Easter. We can celebrate resurrection at the bar. Well, last Sunday, I threw this to the church at the bar. I said, guys, we're excited about Easter. The service is being specifically designed for the online audience. We're designing it specifically for the online audience, house campuses everywhere, including the church at the bar. And somebody raised their hand and said, hey, would it be possible for us to do like a resurrection breakfast? And I was like, there you go. So our church service at the bar starts at 10:20 a.m. and we're going to offer free for all at 9:30 free breakfast. And we're going to just promote in the community, say, hey, we got a free breakfast. Just come celebrate Easter with us and have breakfast at the bar. And then we're going to worship. It's going to be so cool. And that to me screamed like community. Like that was the thing that like, man, this is not me having any idea. This is actually people that attend the church, the bar saying, can we do something that will bring people in, that we invite people in? And nothing more than community comes together around food, right?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. Whatever the reasoning is, I'm not sure. But God has created us this way. And when you have believers that are following the Holy Spirit and that Spirit of Jesus, that impulse that happens from the community, it will inevitably start looking like Acts 2. Where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, and prayer. So it doesn't surprise me that people who are wanting to express authentic church are thinking about breakfast.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. You know? And it is actually a biblical expression of church than maybe some of the other things that we're wanting to do, you know, like you know, Easter egg hunt or whatever, you know, it's like, I don't know.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you, but I think, I don't know. I'm very curious, like to hear, like, what's your plan? Like we had a service and our in-person experience. We are streaming all three. This year I was like, I'm gonna deviate from what we'll be doing online, because the people online, this is their church, this is their community, and I don't want to change that because, you know, it's a big weekend and an in-person experience, and I don't want this to be a reason of contention. I don't want people to see, no, it's just that we have a global audience online that already worship in community. The content, if you will, is prepared for you to have an online experience, not for you to in-person experience. And we already hammered that many times here about, you know, what happens on the stage doesn't necessarily translate online. And we made that move. We got hammered in the head in the beginning. We made the necessary adjustments. And now I believe that we start to really build this community through this online experience that's actually completely separate from what happens on stage. So I don't think it would be right for us to say, hey, because it's Easter, we're going to send you back to the stage experience. No, we're going to take the extra mile here and we're going to build a whole complete experience. So, you know, I told you during the regular online experience, we break out the message into three, four parts for questions. So the group can talk, so the people can talk. And Easter, what we're going to do different for online is we're going to preach less, but we're going to have an extended prayer time. And this prayer time is going to look a little bit like different ways where we're going to actually give people specific reasons to pray and pray in group or pray, pray within, you know, our virtual rooms or in our chat rooms. So we're, and I'm sending like all the house campuses are getting some material ahead of time just for that Sunday. So they can prepare for.
That's good. Yeah.
So we're taking, we're taking these steps to prepare people to, so they see the value of that Sunday. So if we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, cannot be just this casual another Sunday that we dress up like all beautiful and go to church, but actually it has a meaning and gives people this like real deep experience with Christ that I cannot manufacture that. I can just kind of give them a little bit of like a, I can facilitate a little bit, right? So that's what we do here. We just facilitate a little bit, but the experience with God is theirs and it's personal, it's individual. We want him to have that. So that's how we're aiming for Easter. You know, I cannot wait for Easter week. So, the Monday after Easter is one of my favorites. That's when the church attendance number game begins. So that's when you go to Twitter and all the churches start to like, I had 10,000, I had 15,000, I had 20,000. Tell me about you guys. What are you doing, Jason? What's your approach? What do you think?
Well, I would love to say that we were as intentional as you guys. One of the things that, because we're not at the place yet where we have separate experiences for online and on site. However, this Easter is going to move toward that direction. So there is a moment that has been engineered for an in the room experience to, like, you know, nail, you know, what Jesus has forgiven you of on the cross, kind of a deal for Good Friday and stuff. And you know, when that idea was said, okay, this is what we're going to do, then of course I'm the bad guy. It's always raising their hand saying, okay, guys, how are we going to do this online? You know, I mean, and, you know, I don't understand what we're doing here. And so they're like, okay, do you have some ideas? And I'm like, well, okay, if we were to engineer it with the online audience first, because, you know, we don't have the benefit of having two experiences. Mm-hmm. I have to figure out ways of meeting stuff in the middle. So I pitched a couple of ideas, you know, and really at this point, it's kind of too little too late, you know, because it's already been kind of cooked and they have this like dream of what they wanted to do on site. And basically what happened then is they were like, you know, you're right. We can't have this really great goosebump experience on site and replicate that online well. So why don't you just write something up and we will, like, halfway through the service, cut to the online thing. Mm-hmm. That way live, we can do something like a prayer time, a time of, you know, reflection that we can guide them to do in their homes or wherever they happen to be. And so now I've got the opportunity to write that out. So I'm looking forward to that. Another thing that I think is gonna, that we're doing that I don't know, man, it's weird because there is no baseline. We can't say, oh, because of last year, this is what we expect to happen this year. You can't say that about anything.
Yeah.
And so we've got multiple services, not because we believe we're going to be packed, but rather because we are hoping to spread people out. Mm-hmm. So there's more social distancing going on. Now, reality, well, we'll find out what happens. Yeah. But I think what's probably going to happen is what has happened every other time we've done Easter other than last year is people tend to come on prime time.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you're going to get around that one and offering more service, but that number of people that are going to come on prime time, I don't think, man, I would love to be wrong. But even if I am, I'm not sure that, I don't know. It's like, one thing I am grateful for is that we're planning on doing lots of baptisms and stuff. And so mm-hmm. that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Spontaneous baptism, that sort of thing.
I think one of the things I like this transition, it's kind of funny. You and I talked like last year, a year before that, about this transitioning. Well, it was last year though, last summer. We talked about transitioning to an online experience only. That's separate from, and we're talking about like the possibilities and reactions, but it's kind of interesting how you mm-hmm. got people thinking now. Talk about our church staff. We have a store team meeting. So every time, 10 weeks before the new sermon series, the pastor submits, the preaching team submits, is a form that we put together. They fill out with the details for the sermon series coming up. And 8 weeks out, the store team is part staff, part volunteers that come together. And then we study that document that the preaching team send us. And then we talk about each weekend service. Out of that store team meeting comes out song selection, special elements, like we talk as a team, as a collaboration. And I love the process that we have. I love it in everybody in and love it, because at the end of the day is no longer like Joy's idea, is this team's idea what the service is gonna look like. Right. And it's not only staff, there's some key volunteers that actually have some experience in it. Anyways, well, the last one we had about Easter, that's when I said, hey, I'm gonna do this for the online experience that we're doing the group on the Bible app with the Luma videos and all that. And they're like, wow, can you do for the whole church? I said, well, we would need to make multiple groups because it's limited to 150 people. So if we wanna get the entire church mm-hmm. in person. And I said, honestly, I think, I don't know if the in-person experience person will like that, because that's really designed for the online. For people that are already engaged online, right. because the style. So for me to introduce that to the online audience, it was like, oh man, that's great. Even in the church at the bar, people are like, oh man, that's awesome, because they already watched mm-hmm. They watched part of the service online and all that stuff. So it makes sense. So mm-hmm. they said, well, what can we do for the in-person service? Which is kind of funny, right? The online kind of drove that, was online first. And then how can we do
it? Online's the driver, yes. Yeah.
How can we create an in-person experience on a scripture, like scripture reading? And they came up with, like, the writing team put this thing together, this document. Here's the question I asked, because you and I were kind of like, creating the same, you know, issues in life, according to most people. I raised my hand and I said, how is that a community experience? It's like, well, everybody's going to be reading the same scripture every day. I said, let me ask again, how is that a community experience? So the fact that people are in their homes reading the scripture the same day, does that make a community experience? Or mm-hmm. if they can actually have some exchange and conversations, that's where community happens. It was kind of interesting because it took 2 minutes for somebody to say something. Because I think for the first time, they start thinking about what is really community? What like, are we missing understanding what community is? Because we come to church, we all sit looking forward, not being allowed to talk to anybody, we have to be absolutely quiet. That's not community. But you see, in people's mind,
no, it's a great,
that's community.
Yeah,
that's community. So like that comment, that question, it caused everybody to like stop. It was an incredible conversation we had at that point, because people were like, well, Well, because I said, I opened the app, the Bible app, and I said, see here, it says, talk it over. That's when community happens. Not when we're watching the video, not when we're reading the Bible. Right. Here, talk it over is when community actually is happening. So I said, in your in-person experience, where community is happening by reading the scriptures. And then everybody like, okay, we don't have the community component yet. And then they jump into figuring it out, you know, through they're creating a Facebook group. And through the Facebook group leading to Easter, they're going to bring people in. They want to have the conversation about daily, about the scripture, where some key staff members are going to kind of trigger that. And they're going to push the conversation. And I said, well, now you're having community. Now you're introducing people into what it means to have community by reading the Bible daily. Anyways, I just want to bring this up because as we head into Easter, I want to see, you know, how can you help people understand what's really, really community experience and what is not? Because if you and I read the Bible every day, the same scripture, you and I say, okay, we're going to go through the book of Mark, but we never talk, we're not having community. We're just doing an exercise together in a separate room.
Right.
But I want an audience to really capture the idea, like when community is really happening in your church, when community is really happening in your online church, because the fact that people are watching online doesn't compose a community. But when people start joining your chat room or your or your experience, that's your opportunity for community. So as you look into Easter or any other services, Jason, how you see that kind of come together?
Well, for us online, community is baked into everything that we already think about anyhow. So the way that I see it is that if you can have a conversation, I'm talking duplex conversation, where there's back and forth. If you can have a conversation, then you can have a spiritual conversation. If you can have a spiritual conversation, then you can have discipleship. And that's basically it. And that's why for us, it is so important, whether it's chat, whether it's comments, whether it's video conference, you know, Clubhouse, whatever it could be, it doesn't even matter. The platform is the conversation that's occurring. Whenever you see Jesus doing stuff that is super meaningful with people, it's around a conversation that he's having with people. And sometimes it's a one-on-one conversation, sometimes it's a group conversation, but it's always a conversation. There's back and forth going on. And what I think, because of economy of scale and because, I don't know, we're used to broadcasting, you know, not to say that broadcasting is a bad thing, but that wasn't the way that Jesus chose to do it. I mean, he could have, like, you know, he could have just got up in the air and just like circled the globe and said, you know, believe in me. As a broadcast, but he chose not to do that. He chose to be one of us and to live life with us and have a conversation. So for us, we have so many intentional ways of bringing people step by step into community and deepening that community to the point where they recognize their calling by God and are able to strengthen that through the character that the Holy Spirit is building inside of them and in community go on mission together for their friends. At the end of the day, what I want church to feel like every single week, not just Easter. This is just, Easter is like a blip of all that we do. For me, it's just like becoming like Jesus with your friends. That's it, you know? And if you're not becoming like Jesus and you're with your friends, well then, you know, you're having a good time. Or if you are becoming like Jesus with people that you don't know or care about, I don't know how far that's gonna go either. But for us, that's how it is. And that's what it feels like. And oddly enough, it has way more to do with what happens in online groups in the Facebook groups, in the chat, in the text, the group text that we have. It has way more to do with that than a 1 hour Sunday production.
Absolutely.
The 1 hour Sunday production for us is like a feeder system toward real church. It's like a show for real church. The real church is all the community and the friendships and the relationships and the doing life together stuff that we do. Everybody longs for that, you know? And that's the fun stuff that we get to do together. We spend a lot of time praying for each other, laughing together, crying together, you know, encouraging one another in that space. So much so that the Sunday show, we could take it or leave it. It doesn't really matter. I mean, we do it because it for a lot of people is a catalyst toward community.
Yeah.
Where, you know, some but it's only true, this is what I found, is that that catalyst only works for churched people. People who want a church show. Mm-hmm. And everybody else who doesn't really care about a church show, but they want the real community, there are different types of on-ramps for that. So this is just one of the many tools that we have at our disposal toward getting real church done. Did I explain that well? Yeah. I mean, does that make sense?
I like that. I like that because it touches the point where not many churches want to talk about. It's the question of, you know, nothing else exists without the Sunday morning experience, right? I mean, no, ministries are non-exist if you don't have the Sunday morning experience, and churches really tend to think that way. So that's why so much money,
right,
so much resources are being put into that one-hour experience, because the understanding is, if I can make this very attractive, if I can make this very, in a way, even relevant, if I can get people to come in and stay on this experience, they're going to connect with everything else. So usually the mechanism is, I'll make this 1 hour thing here happen. That's my point of sale, for lack of a better expression on that, right? It's my point of sale. Mm-hmm. If I can get people to come in and bite, they will stay. And now I have to have this whole structure ready.
Then what?
For them to be able to plug in, right? So I have to have this like gigantic. I build all these things around, right? I build this amazing student ministry, is an amazing children's ministry, an amazing, you know, group systems, and so people can like they. And that's, I think that's how church has been engineered for a very long time. Meaning, the entry point is Sunday. And then it starts to distribute to all those things in a very programmatic way. That's the thing about it. It's a very programmatic way of connecting people. And I think the shift that the culture is going to force the church next is like, stop giving me programs, give me community. Just in the sense of relationships. Like, just stop telling me about God, like you just mentioned earlier. Stop talking to me about God and really like, show me that God you talked about in your own life by being relational, by having a relationship with me. And I think the community, when I say people, I say the community around the church, they're not going to the church. I think they are ready for that. And I look at the researches like using glue insights. And more than I look at it, it's like people are ready. You know, I look around Mason, 10 miles radius from our church in Mason, Ohio. And when you look at it, we're looking at 75, 80% of people that claim to already know Jesus, to know God, but don't follow. They don't consider themselves religious. Like, it's kind of interesting, like they're believers, but they don't consider themselves religious, meaning right. I don't go to church. I don't want to step in the church. But 60% of them are so-called relators, meaning family and friends are their priority. Okay, I cannot look at those stats and think that by doing my regular church service like I've done for the last 50 years is going to work. Because that service is not inviting to somebody that's looking for a community and not just content. Again, content right now, it's all over the place. It's easier more than ever for any one of us to find content online. So I can watch a preacher. I can watch 10 preachers a week preach the exact same message that my pastor preached about whatever you want to think about it, you know, and the message is going to be better or worse. Doesn't matter. It's available. I don't have to go in the building to get the content. However,
right.
I think because of the high level of religion, if you will, in our country, in our communities, Easter is still this like sacred Sunday, which I think for some people, like I don't have to go to church at all, except Easter. I have to be there because God forbid mm-hmm. I'm not in church on Easter Sunday. I mean, then God really going to do something to me if I don't there Easter Sunday, right? So people think okay. that way. Yeah. So I think that high level, high number of religious people, they're the ones going to go there. And I, as much as you and I can, you know, we can hit our heads against the wall here on this, we still have the reality that that's how church is today. So,
right. And for religious people, that's great. What I'm talking about is everybody else.
Yes.
You know, so what about the people who don't get up on Easter morning and even know what Sunday it is? What about them? Now, the thing is, it's like, all right, for my kids, I'm like thinking of the future digitally mm-hmm. for my kids, right? And I believe that there's something to thinking this way, because that same thought process is what brought us the, you know, seeker-sensitive attractional model mm-hmm. was back in the day. You know, when I was a kid, it was like church was boring. Well, it's not boring anymore. It's just irrelevant to yeah. what I'm really looking for. Relevancy is based upon need. And if what I need right now is community, that's what's relevant. What I used to need maybe was something more engaging. Okay, then that's relevant. But mm-hmm. that's not what I need anymore. And when people get imprinted on church and the religious structure, and they feel, especially on Easter, that that's what they should do, well, fine, do that. There are plenty of churches that will do that.
Yes.
But what about all the rest of the folks, you know, that we're not reaching, that have not been imprinted that way, that are open to Jesus and open to relationships and craving them? What about that? You yeah. tell that person to go to live religious community theater and it doesn't make sense to them.
Yes.
But we got to do something different.
Yeah, and I agree with you. That has been my main motivation on our online experience now, is that some people are like, well, are you trying to, you know, church people are not going to like your format for CC, for online church, CC Live, we call it. Say that's great, because that, I'm not after them. I'm after that right. person that's sitting home and absolutely thinking about how they're going to make it tomorrow. They have their personal struggles. They're going through stuff, and they have nobody. They don't have a church. They don't have, you know, right. they don't have anybody that can connect. They can have those conversations. So I'm not trying to attract church people or to come to our online. No, I want to reach out to people that actually have needs. And I like how you said that relevant. Based on
relevancy
the need. Relevancy based on the need. What I like about that is that people have their needs. We don't know what season of life they're in. As you're talking about the people right. going to church, I'm thinking about how many people has been hurt by the church and made a personal commitment to right. never put a foot back in a church. What are we going to do? We're going to try to prove them that, oh, you're wrong. You just need to find another building to walk into. Or we're going to actually use an opportunity that we have right now, like never before, to meet people where they're at. Right. like never before. Mm-hmm. We can just meet them right where they're at and have those conversations, which if you look at it, it's just crazy. It's just crazy, like even just to
Yes, to your point on that one, I was having a conversation with Heidi, our A2 community director, who is like really forward-thinking as it relates to digital and distributed models of expressions of church. Her parents live up in Illinois, and her mom, she comes to my online group, and I do like a full-blown A2, the folks that are participating don't know that, but it's like discipleship coaching is basically what I'm doing. And right now we're taking like a 6-week, you know, lining up and aligning everything we're doing with what the church is doing in the one campaign right now, mm-hmm. and going through the gospels during the season of Lent, watching the videos and all that kind of stuff. And here's the interesting thing. Her dad, he's been burned by church, will not go back. He will never go back to church. Doesn't even attend the group. But because his wife, Heidi's mom, does attend the group and does it in her home, her dad is listening in the room right next door and will ask spiritual questions of her the next day.
Wow.
So he's kind of half participating because we didn't ask them to come to church, but rather we brought the church into their home.
Yeah.
And now we have the possibility of not only reaching people who can't come to the church building, but reaching the rest of the people that are in their home as well. And that is like stuff that we're not thinking about. And that will never show up on an attendance sheet, because if you extract that person from their home so that they can come to a big box, well, that's great for your numbers and all, but what about that guy that's staying at home and refuses to come? If we take the church to the home, now he can't escape it.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. That I think that's a great point. And I think as we look into Easter Sunday, I think all of us, everybody online or in person online, have a huge opportunity. The thing impressed me the most last year, through our Google grants, we're able to look at people that landed on our CC Live experience for the very first time because of the ads. And mm-hmm. it was just amazing to me to look at over 800 people landed on that page out of a Google search on Easter Sunday. And it's not 1,000, it's not 10,000, it was 800. But do you know what a church of 800 people look like? I don't want to underestimate that number. I want actually people to see that if you got 100 new people drop in into your online experience at Easter Sunday, man, be mindful of how you're going to connect with them, because they went there for a reason. And they most likely, in my opinion, most likely they want to connect with you. They want to connect with your church. So I say, don't miss this opportunity, right? Don't, like I start talking with my volunteers early this month in March about Easter, because we know that online and in person, online, people will come, people search. And they're going to land somewhere. And if they land in our church, I wanted them, our online experience, I wanted them to have the best community experience possible. I wanted them to know Christ through this powerful relational experience they're going to have online. And let God do the rest. I mean, we don't want to manufacture the experience. We just want it to be authentic relational experience that they're going to have through their online church. So, man, I hope that's the case. If we do all this for one single person that Sunday to say, I want to accept Christ through this, it was totally worth the time, the money, the investment that we make in that. And I mean it, like I'm serious about it, because it is one So that this was totally worth it. So I mean, I'm really excited about Easter this year. Like I said, we're stepping into a very unknown territory right here, kind of like post but not post COVID. People are ready to kind of like I think I'm curious. I'm really curious to see what's going to happen this Easter. I'm going with no expectations, to be honest with you. I'm just going to like, let's see what happens.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Online Pastor Coach Podcast. Make sure to visit our website, onlinepastorcoaching.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, and many other podcast platforms, so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. If you like this show, you might want to check out our ebook, A Local Church with a Global Reach. Joey and Jason are available for private coaching. Just send us a message. Now go make a global impact for the kingdom until next time.